Howdy, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Blister Podcast on The Blister Podcast Network. As always, we are coming to you from our home base in Elevation Hotel in Mount Crested Butte, Colorado. As you can probably already tell, my name is not Jonathan Ellsworth. Instead, you've got Luke Coppa today. I am the managing editor over at Blister, and as always, you can check out everything we are doing and reviewing over at blisterreview.com. Today, I'm guest hosting a very special Blister podcast that we recorded this past weekend, which was the day after the first stop of the IFSA Freeride World Tour Challenger Series, which happened to take place right in our backyard at Crested Butte Mountain Resort. I sat down with four of the folks who actually competed in this event, as well as many of the others on both the Freeride World Qualifier and Freeride World Tour this season. Joining me were Britta Winans, Colton Schaff, Mia Winans, and Tyler Curl, and they all helped peel back the curtain a bit on the current freeride competition scene from the FWQ series all the way up to the Freeride World Tour. They do a great job of shedding a light on the comp scene in general, but also many of the intricacies of competing on the circuit these days, the sort of things that you can really only figure out once you're actually one of those athletes in those competitions. We discuss the evolution of different styles and what people are willing to try and even land on freeride venues these days, their own personal approaches to line choice and the serious mental aspect of these events, the biggest differences between the qualifier events and the world tour, each of their favorite moments from this particular competition scene, some of their personal favorite riders, and a whole lot more. Now, Britta, Colton, Mia, and Tyler provide a really insightful look into what it actually means to be a freeride athlete these days and how they see that evolving in the future. So I really hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Oh, and just a heads up slash spoiler warning, we recorded this the morning after celebrating several of their amazing runs the day before, and we did so right before they needed to hit the road. So the audio for this episode will be probably a bit looser than the ultra precise stuff that Jonathan always aims for. Just think of it as a bit of extra flavor. Now, this episode of the Blister Podcast is presented by Gear West, which is our Blister recommended shop in Long Lake, Minnesota. As this ski and snowboard season comes to a close, you should be sure to check out their spring cleaning sale. It is happening right now and runs through the end of March. That means 20% off almost every winter product in their store, with some bonus further discounts on select items. Also, as the winter turns to spring, bike season is already well underway, and Gear West will get you all ready for the trails too. Whether you're looking for a tune-up on your current bike, shopping for a new one, or are in need of any other bike gear this season, Gear West has you covered. They also offer specialty bike fitting, so swing by to make sure that your bike is set up just for you this season to make sure you're comfortable and confident every time you go out for a ride. You can check out all that Gear West has to offer at gearwest.com, and we will also include a link in the show notes of this episode. With that, let's get to my conversation with Britta, Colton, Mia, and Tyler. All right, well, I am here in Blister headquarters in Elevation Hotel, and we just watched an extremely impressive freeride world qualifier challenger event qualifier. Yeah, we were also fortunately a lot of people in this room did quite well, so we were celebrating their success last night, so might be stumbling over my words a little bit, but I'm here with Colton Schaff, Tyler Curl, Mia Winans, and Britta Winans, and we are gonna do a bit of a kind of recap of the event and just kind of hopefully filling in people about the freeride qualifier circuit and the world tour and kind of this season and the freeride scene in general. And then we will let you guys get on your way and get ready for the next event. But I think for starters, for people who don't know, can you just tell me a bit about each of yourselves, your background, how long you've been competing, anything anyone should know about you? And we can start with Colton.
I'm Colton Schaff. I'm 26 from Reno, Nevada. I've been competing in freeride since I was 18. And yeah, super stoked to be back this everyone doing the challengers. And yeah, if yesterday was any indication as to like how crazy this year is going to be, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, very much looking forward to the rest.
Sweet, my turn. I am Tyler Curl. Been on a few of these before and come to the summit events and all that, including the after party or the karaoke after party in this room. And I'm here with the group. We had the start of the season with all the qualification events. We all did well enough in that. And then we make kind of like our playoffs, which makes up the final three competitions. So all of our points reset. And then we have a best two out of three shot. And then different numbers for each category. For ski women, there are two spots available. Ski men, there are four. So we're all fighting to hopefully do well in this next round of comps and then make that. And then I've been competing for a little over 10 years now. Started really getting into it on the then squaw free, now Olympic free style team. And then that really kind of set me up and gave me the passion for free riding and competing and meeting all these people and traveling around. And we're still doing it today. And Mia.
All right. My name is Mia Winans. I grew up in Truckee, California. I was on the Olympic Valley freestyle free ride team with Tyler and Britta. Grew up originally mogul skiing, competed moguls for a couple of years, and then switched over to free ride. It was just a little bit more creative, a little more fun to me. And so I guess I started competing free ride when I was about 15, and so I've been doing it about 10 years also.
Sweet. I'm Britta Winans. I have a pretty similar upbringing to Mia. I competed moguls for a bit and then started doing free ride comps when I was like pretty young. I think I did my first free ride comp when I was 10.
No, she was 10. She had like this really big helmet and she was so small and she just kind of like rolled down the venue.
But yeah, I'm currently going to school at University of Denver and trying to balance skiing, competing, going to school. But yeah, I'm super stoked for the Challenger Series. I think Silverton is going to be sick. And yeah, that's about it.
Sweet.
She also won yesterday.
Yeah. 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 We will be getting into this comp in particular. But yeah, Britta was atop the podium yesterday, very deservingly. And hopefully, I think this episode will maybe give me an excuse to include some dad cam clips in the post on our site, because I think we have almost everyone's on film, so keep an eye out for that. But I think for now, maybe looking back a bit, we're, as you guys just mentioned, we're getting towards the so-called like playoffs essentially of the season. But I'm curious, over the course of the events that you all participated in, are there any particular moments, highlights, on or off the snow, whether it was something you did or someone else did? I imagine, like, with how much went down just in one event yesterday, I'm sure it's hard to narrow that down, but I'd be very curious the standout moments for you all. Who wants to go first?
I got it. One for me this season was the kind of crapshoot that was the Kicking Horse comp prior to the Free Ride World Tour comp there. The whole group, we had just came from Revy to the next following comp, and then the competition had to cancel because it got too hot and there were wet slides. And then the following day, they opened up the venue, but only athletes could ride the hill that day because it refroze, so it was so, like, just icy, chunder, frozen death. And I was with one of our buddies from Tahoe, Weston Lubin, who was staying with us, and we were both up top, and we were like, we should probably tone down our runs because we're going to explode and die. And then we were like, well, what do you think about the big cliff? And we're both like, well, I don't know. We got it. And it was terrible, the worst conditions we've ever had, but ended up getting on the podium there and then definitely set me up for success getting into the Challenger Series.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I remember when you said it was the worst conditions you'd ever competed in. I mean, you just talked about how you've been competing for a decade, and I've seen some of the other ones that didn't look great. Like, that, I don't envy anyone who rode that day.
Yeah.
It sounded horrible.
That was also, like, probably just not the worst conditions I've competed in, but probably ever skied on. It was like frozen wet slides was the whole venue and the whole mountain. But yeah, totally. But we got down, got some scores on the board, and it helped us get here to the Challengers. So
The first comp I had back was the Copper 3-star. And I was injured last season, so I was, like, pretty nervous to get back. And I got injured in a comp last season. So
and
I
still got on the podium in that run.
What was the injury?
I got a bucket handle tear in my meniscus. So that was my second knee surgery on the same knee. It's been a bit of a mental game getting back. And that Copper comp was just, like, so dope because I live in Denver now, so like that's kind of my home mountain in Colorado. I ski mostly Copper, so it was really cool to like get out there and then like put down a run and feel strong and feel healthy. It just like set me up and it felt really good to like have everybody down there. That was sick.
Probably my big moment this year was my big hurdle this year, I think, was like the Verbier comp and the FWT, like the first stop, like a total impromptu competition. Like my first year, I was just like so stressed and it was such a crazy experience. And like the when I rode into the corral after my run, like in the video, you see me like put my hands on my head and like put my head down. And I was literally just like, had no idea like what just happened. It was like such an insane, like otherworldly experience in skiing that I had never, I don't know, just like so much emotion and so much craziness. And that was really like a defining moment for me this year. It was like proving to myself that I was capable of skiing, you know, because you had like the sports, like it's such a mixed bag of like self-doubt and confidence at the same, you know, like, and like being calculated and knowing what you're capable of and not wanting to get hurt but pushing the limits. And it's such like a crazy like whirlpool of stuff going on in your brain. And so that was like a cool, insane moment of like clarity that was very brief that got me really fired up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I remember trying not to wake up my roommates when I was watching the live stream. Once you got down to the bottom, it was a really sick run, and I could only imagine like combining first ever like run on the world tour and at like a venue, like how long before the comp did you guys actually find out what you were going to be competing on? It was pretty last minute, right? Cause they had to change from Andorra or something.
Yeah. It was pretty last minute. It was, I don't remember if it was a restage of Baquera or if it was Andorra. But both of those got canceled. I think we got maybe like 5 days heads up to get to Verbier, and we got there and then they were going to run it on the dog leg on the Beck proper. So we spent like 2 days riding Verbier and like halfway kind of looking at the Beck or at the dog leg side. And then the afternoon before face check, the safety team went up and like rode all over the Beck and then on the Petit Beck, which is where we actually ended up competing to determine snow conditions. And like, snow ended up being way more consistent on the Petit Beck. So that afternoon, we found out that was going to be our face. And then the next day, we had face check. And then the next day, the comp. But yeah, but it was like a lot for me to handle. But in hindsight, like after talking to like Andrew Pollard and some of the more experienced guys, they were like, things worked out so sick. Like great snow. Avi danger was low. Like they're like, you couldn't have asked for like a better first comp. They're like, even having it on like the steep, you know, Petit Beck, like they're like, just compared to like snow quality they've had in Andorra and in Spain in the past has been like way worse than that. So
yeah, it led to a phenomenal event, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Mia, highlight.
Let's see, I think probably my highlight this year was Snowbird. So we did Canada, we had a blast there, and then went back and worked for a little bit, headed to Snowbird. And it was also my first comp skiing with Britta. So we have been kind of switching knee injuries for the past couple of years, so we haven't gotten to compete together very much. So it was really fun to get in the Stargate with Britta again. The snow was freaking awesome on Baldi. Those, like, top, I think, 10 turns was probably my highlight. Because there's no features, and everyone's just, like, ripping fast and spraying snow. It was kind of windblown powder, and that was really fun.
There was, like, a huge...
Yeah. And then after that comp, like, watching was incredible. And then I got to rip around with Delilah Quinn, Britta, and Avery Bernholtz. And we just, like, ripped around party laps, and it was just a blast getting to ski with people that ski at that level.
Yeah, yeah, especially at a place like Snowbird.
Totally, it's so fun it's there.
Also good snow.
Yeah.
Pretty fun combo.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you guys have all kind of touched on this. I think very quickly, for people who aren't super familiar with the ins and outs of the freeride competition scene and the qualifier circuit, does one of you want to volunteer to kind of give us the elevator pitch of, like, so here's where you start, and then here's what you go through, and then here's where you could end up in terms of the different, like, types of events and series?
All right. So we're here where it all started many, many years ago. So the first extreme competitions happened here, and then through McConkey and all of that development over the years, they started the IFSA, which was a nonprofit, or I guess it's still kind of a nonprofit organization to kind of run this whole free ride thing. So it's been very developed, a couple changes over the years to where we're at now, but at the current state of things, it starts off on the junior level. Typically, you have to be in a program to sign up for an event, but there's some independent events as well. Usually, the kids will start there, and then if they kind of have a love for it, they can pursue it once they, like, get into the college years after they're 18, kind of doing it professionally a little bit. And then doing that, there are different tiered events. There's a one star, which is anyone can sign up. You just have to be the first at your computer when that time slot opens. Two stars, which it's a mix of that and then pre-qualified people. So if you do an event and you get points from that, those points accumulate. The more points you have, the higher level ranking competition you can get in. We are all in the four-star series, which is the highest level, and a bit harder to get into because you have to have the top points to even be able to sign up for the event. The top athletes, like I kind of mentioned earlier, go throughout the season. We kind of have our playoffs, and then I kind of like to associate with baseball. It's kind of like we're in AAA, and then if we make our cut, then we go to the big league, and then we make it on the Pro Tour. And then on the Pro Tour, that's like the five-star level. That is the Freeride World Tour. Those guys and girls, if they don't make their cut, then they come down and compete in our Challenger Series. And then we're all fighting to make to the top World Tour tier.
Mm-hmm. And what is a three-star? I feel like I've never understood where that slots into things.
It's so dumb. But typically a two-star will be lower consequential terrain, not as good riders. Four-star, opposite of that. Three stars, it's kind of just like more events and more opportunities for people to compete. They kind of mix it where it would be in between, like, not quite spellbound gnarly, but like a little bit toned down, and you get your point breakdown is in between the two and the four. So there aren't that many of them, but just more competitions out there for more opportunities for people to make their way up in the ranking.
Gotcha.
They've added a few three stars so that athletes who are in two stars primarily can, like, hop up and get those extra points so that they can, like, be entering four stars.
You so also, like, with three-star points, like, a lot of Britta qualifying was from her three-star points. So you still get points for them, and that can qualify you for the Challengers if you're at the top of the three stars. It's just not quite as many points as you get from, say, winning a four-star.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of, like, I feel like sometimes I hear about between, like, two stars and four stars, or maybe even three stars, have, like, a reputation for, like, would you guys say that, like, the style of riding, like, obviously you tend to have more experienced people in the higher star, more difficult events, but are there any other kind of, like, signature traits of, like, a two star versus a four star, or Colton, like, the five star versus the four stars? Who wants to start there?
Well, I know that the two-star versus four-star, like the attitude sometimes between the two, or like three-star versus four-star, like maybe at the beginning of the year, the first, like, two-star in Revy is like kind of a warm-up for everybody. It's not like a complete huck fest. But some of the two-stars like later on in the year are like notorious for being like absolutely heinous. Like people show up and are just like chucking dubs, and like kids that got into the comp that like don't comp ski but are like really sick skiers, whether they're park skiers or whatever, like they show up and do it and just do something insane. Like I think the Targi
two star is like some of the highest level competition there is, and I think a lot of it has to do with these two star athletes that aren't getting into four stars want to win so that they can start getting into four stars. So people really throw down in some of these two stars, and it's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah. Or it might be the only event that they're doing for the year. So with all of us, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to blow out. I got to be consistent, make the thing. And if you're only doing one comp, they're kind of like, well, I'm either going to win or I'm going to blow up trying, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then we're like, yes.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, well, that makes me look forward to next year. I hope they're doing another two star here, because yeah, it does. I think I was talking to my buddy who still the run he talks about most is Dylan Flinders' head wall run in the two star here, like 3 years ago or something. I still haven't seen anyone do one of the moves that he did, and yeah, very entertaining. And Colton, you talked about your first stop on the world tour this year. Was there anything kind of surprising during the first World Tour season, like maybe something that was super different from the qualifier series or something that was surprisingly similar, or any like big takeaways from that experience?
Definitely. Yeah. There's a bunch of similarities and a bunch of differences for sure. I guess one of the biggest things, like one of the biggest similarities is like, it's, I don't know if this sounds stupid or like cliche, but it is like just skiing. Like I have built it up so much in my head, which is partly, I think, was kind of jumbled my brain going into some of my comp runs. But like, you know, all of us that doing the qualifiers, like you get those insane butterflies. You're like stoked, scared, like so many different emotions. And then like, as soon as like your name comes over the radio and you like make your first turn, your brain just like goes blank and like everything like goes away. And it's like no longer that scary, really. You just like commit to your movements and like you do what you're good at. And it's the same thing on the tour, just like in a bigger arena, bigger venue, you know, everything's higher consequence, but like, as soon as you drop in, like your brain goes, oh, I snapped.
Oh, you good?
Like your brain goes blank, and like you just like go skiing, and like I feel like I built it up so much in my head, to the point where it was like I'm like about to drop in, just like freaking out, you know. And then you drop in, and you're like, oh man, like this is what I do. Like,
yeah,
I feel so much more confident.
Yeah, it's like the one thing you already knew how to do was the skiing.
Exactly. Like I'm sitting in the start gate, like you know, like. I don't know, like Tyler and I have spent a lot of time skiing together and like watching the tour and like picked up on so many little things, just like, oh man, you get to wear the bib, like your name on it. Like you're standing in the big start gate. Like it's just crazy, you know? And like you're standing there and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm standing here. And then you drop in and it's like, oh man, like it's the same shit we've been doing forever. Just like, you know, you got a bigger canvas to like paint on. So, but then also, the difference is obviously in North America we do on hill inspection or like on venue inspection through like, you know, insurance purposes and things like that. And the European qualifiers are full visual and their Avi bag shovel probe, beacon shovel probe in every comp. And we're less so of that. It's a little bit less formal, I guess, for us. But at the same time, what I picked up on is we have really we have very predictable snow on every venue we ski on because it's been skied out. Except when it's a POW comp, but that's all, you know. We have very like, you know how things are going to react, except for maybe that one cliff landing that you might hit a rock or something like that. Other than that, like, you know how it's going to react. In the European qualifiers, like, no tracks, completely untouched venue, super unpredictable, full visual inspection. You're only capable of like so much in that arena unless you're one of like, you know, the people that truly rise above. mm-hmm. and like are just phenomenal skiers and can link it all up and make it work perfectly and just read the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, we're capable, like kids, three kids did doubles yesterday. Like three kids did doubles yesterday. Packed out, sick lip, like ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Super solid. That kind of lip, if there was no tracks on it, and it hadn't been, it only been skied a couple times that whole year,
mm-hmm.
like totally different story.
Oh yeah.
So like you expect some kid with like a Abbey bag to come in and like try a dub flat or dub front. You know, it's, it allows for different like types of skiing and mm-hmm. different things, which is interesting to see. Yeah, that's kind of the visual aspect. It's a completely different style of like stepping to a venue
yeah.
than it is here in North America. So that kind of threw me for a loop, but
yeah, that seems baffling. Like I need to, like, if I'm going to hit anything in CBMR where I ski every day, I basically have to like look over the lip and then sidestep back up before I hit it. And I probably hit it like maybe even a day ago, but yeah, trying to figure out how to not only like unpredictable conditions, like you were mentioning, like in the most recent comp, like the conditions also change like between runs so much or between aspects. And then, yeah, you're dealing with like takeoffs that haven't been packed down. And, but then also like some of the faces are just enormous and like so complex and all these ridges. I just want to say it's baffling and really cool and impressive, but scary. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. No, it's like when, like, I think it was Blake Marshall's run in Georgia. Like he did this big down the pipe, right three off of like fresh takeoff, like, and to a skier, like, you know how hard that is with no track set in, like on a weird sketchy lip slanting down the pipe. Like, oh, like it's like such an insane maneuver. And like most people, it's like, oh yeah, he did a big 360, and like, no, but there was no track there. Like that lip,
he
like,
made
like
the
this,
lip.
Like,
yeah.
right at the end. And like, oh, it's just like such a, every little detail is like, there's so much more to it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is really fascinating too. Like from like a skier's perspective, you learn to like really appreciate like little weird things. You're like, you go out there and ride in one of those comps and you're like, whoa, these guys are really good.
Yeah.
And they're, not only can they do like a big three or a big backflip and ride really fast, there's like all these details you pick up on and you're like, holy shit, like mm-hmm. that is so hard to do.
Yeah, I think yesterday you pointed out, or one of you did, like Cal Hill's correction
turn
in High Life.
The most
yeah.
beautiful thing I've ever
seen. Yeah, yeah. Like you guys just mentioned, there were doubles being thrown, incredible lines. But yeah, like that turn was, yeah. And that's why I always love talking to people who are involved in this, like talking to you guys about free ride comps or talking to like really good mountain bikers about mountain bike racing and the things they pick up on is always fascinating to me. I think that we might as well just go into like any other like standout moments for each of you from like kind of in that same vein, little details, little adjustments that people made that really stood out, whether it was across the season, if there was a big moment, or just in yesterday's comp.
Kind of a breakthrough this year on the mental game that I was pretty excited about. I think with all of us, we can all relate in that we're good skiers and we know that we can do the run that we want to do, but picking out that run is where like I get into like a mental head case. I'm like, okay, well, I can do that, but how is that going to score compared to this one over here? So shout out to Colton's dad, Mark Schaff, just a poet himself, but he would always text us before our competition runs. And one of the things he said, which I didn't really listen to, and now I'm kind of like, oh yeah, duh, you're right. But like, ski what you know how to do and what looks fun to you, and you're going to do that the best. So I've kind of been picking out those kinds of runs, and it's really worked for me, where in previous years I would just kind of go for the points and maybe do something that I wasn't completely sure about, and then might not have worked out. Or you just don't ride it with like that sure confidence kind of thing. So that's been a really cool breakthrough for me this year.
Imagine I think that's something that comes up anytime I talk to anyone in the free ride scene or just like who compete in anything semi-professionally or professionally, is like, I've never been a competitive skier. So I like competition and skiing are just totally disconnected in my mind. And I'm like, you saying that, I'm like, yeah, like I would not ski well at all if I wasn't skiing like remotely what I would want to be skiing, because that's the only thing I normally do. Yeah, that's interesting. And I imagine you hear all sorts of approaches from all different people in terms of how to accomplish that or kind of progressively figure it out.
Yeah, it's different for everyone too. That's like, it's the main hurdle. It's like everyone's really good at skiing.
Yeah.
And you put that all together with your head.
Yeah.
And like kind of conquer that battle.
Yeah.
And like play to your strengths rather than what might be the highest scoring line or.
I felt like Taos last year, like for me, it was really, that was like my favorite run. It's just like.
Mine too.
Like it's kind of not similar to like, or not the same as like Spellbound High Life, but there is kind of like Kachina. There's like big fun playful on the looker's left. Things get a little bit more spicy and dicey, like over on the like Daverdeens or whatever, like looker's right. And I was like, obviously that's the gnarlier zone, but like, I feel like there's people here that will ski it better than I can. I feel like I can ski that zone better than people here. And I was like, well then, like that looks way more fun. That looks super sick. And I was like, fuck it, like that's what I want to do. And it worked out super well. And then I remember like your run. You were like, I want to go hit the double. Like, I want to go hit it. Like, I don't care.
I knew it, like, wasn't probably the smartest move, and there was definitely a chance I wasn't going to land it, but, like, nothing else on the looker's left side of that venue was calling to me. So I was like, I want the double. It's calling me. I need to do it. And while I fell in the landing, I was still just so excited that I went for it and had so much fun at that comp, and the snow was great over there, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like a good time. The footage from there was very cool.
Yeah, it was an insane comp.
Yeah, I feel like everyone was like super hyped on what everyone was doing that comp. Like watching you guys, I think Tori went in to that shoot too. It was like so gnarly. Like I was so
jazzed.
She's
just like a technical skier, so it's like yeah she's not gonna like hit the big freestyle line. She's gonna go into the tech. And
but I feel like that was like, it's like in order to like get where you need to be mentally, like you need to just like, you need to make decisions that don't always like make the most sense for IFSA judging, and you just gonna need to do what you want to do and what's like the most fun, and that like usually shines out, or like something that's like speaking to you, like the High Life line that you did, Tyler. You're just like, man, I like just want to get in there, like I want to do it. I've never done it. I think I got this. Like, and it's like, then you should do it.
Yeah, you know? I also think that feeling and like following that really progresses the sport, because then people are skiing what they're best at skiing rather than trying to chase points. And I think that you see a lot higher of a level when people are not just like, oh, this is the winning line, I'm gonna ski the winning line. That they're like following what calls them and what they think they can ski best, and then you see some really rad skiing.
Yeah, which I think yesterday, like immediately, like two kids were like, oh yeah, I'm gonna dub that. That's sick.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh right.
Good luck.
I can't wait to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's something to be said about that, like draw, like when you get on the venue and like an actual line like speaks to you. It's kind of crazy. Like you can be like looking at a mountain and you're like, oh, I want to ski that, and it's just kind of like this weird like connection that you have like with the mountain. And it's
was that the case for your line yesterday, which Britta won the ski women's category yesterday, but was it like immediately like, yeah, I'm gonna go huck that thing in Spellbound Cliffs?
There was this like cool double that I was looking at on like the looker's left side that I really wanted to do, but then once I saw like that cliff from the top looked scary because it was like super blind, and we had only like gone on the ridge, so I couldn't see until I got like underneath it. And once I got underneath it, I was like, oh, that's so sick. Like, and it's right in the middle of the venue. I was like, it's like a big move, but like, that's like what I want to do. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely got that feeling. It took a second.
Yeah.
I had to let it cook for a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, everyone should definitely check out the video of Britta's run. Everyone was super hyped. And yeah, because it was in the middle of the venue, it's like, for reference, for people who haven't been back there, like Spellbound, more of an open area, lots of cliffs and littler rocks and stuff. And then High Life is basically the opposite. It's like ultra steep, but tons of trees and kind of pillowy rocks, ultra techy. But your line was like dead center and like one of the few places on the venue where I think everyone can see it, and like just the bass area just like erupted as soon as you just stomped the hell out of the top air. It was awesome to see. I think the point about kind of going with your own skiing style rather than basing your line off like the potential scoring, yeah, it wouldn't be very free in quotes to like think of it as like just a bunch of boxes to check, but it is a judging based sport, which brings with it, I'm sure, controversy with every single event and podium. But as we've seen, like back in the day, you would see people like Randy Barkrid, and his thing was like huge straight airs, super high speed, kind of more traditional free ride. Now you've got people throwing doubles frequently, which is kind of crazy to think about looking just a few years ago. But freestyle has definitely become more prevalent, especially as kids are getting coached. Like the kids here, I feel like every single one, at least for a few years, if they're on the team, they're doing free ride competitions and training, but they're also doing freestyle competitions and in the park all the time. And I'm curious if you all have any thoughts about where you see the sport going from like the general style, like is freestyle gonna continue to become more dominant, or is it just gonna become like kind of standard? Like you're expected to throw a three or a backy off something, but you're not gonna have to throw a double off something to win. Do you guys have any thoughts on kind of where that trajectory is going?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people started freeride skiing because they were either a mogul skier or a racer or a park skier, and they wanted something a little bit more creative. So I think that like in our age and kind of this generation, a lot of people grew up in a different aspect of the sport, no matter what it was. And I think we're going to start to see a lot more of the juniors that are coming in to the adults that are grew up on a freeride team solely, which is definitely going to be interesting. And I think these freeride teams are also teaching a lot of freestyle tricks, but you're going to see less, I think, like of the park mogul race kids coming to freeride because the young kids are starting at freeride, which I think totally. Yeah. But I think what you were saying about like, is throwing a three going to be like a mandatory thing to win? I think like it's really cool to start to see, especially the ski women, like throwing tricks. And like I've been doing this for a lot of years, and there was always a couple people that maybe did a three. And this year it's like the girls are doing backflips and they're doing threes and they're doing front flips. And it's really cool to see. But then you can also say like yesterday, like a lot of people were throwing tricks and still you can win with a line like Britta's that's just big and fall line and doing shifties and grabs, rather than trying to, like, for me yesterday, I hit that same top air as Britta, and then I, like, tried to hit a hard left turn so I could get to the air that I wanted to three. And maybe if I didn't try to hit that turn to get to that air, then I could have stayed on my feet and stayed fall line. So it's kind of that debate of is it worth it, is it not, but it's cool to see that girls are starting to throw down tricks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was trying so hard to finish work early enough to catch all of it. Yeah. I only caught like the second half, but then watched the replay at the end. Yeah, it was.
I mean, the first girl out of the start gate yesterday, Lydia, she just did a massive backflip. And the girls up top, we were all geeking. We were so excited. We're like, oh, like we got to go.
Maybe one of the, if not the biggest women's like competition backflip.
Yeah. And straight to bolts. It was big.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think there's,
even on tour,
there's
like
some decent female backflips on tour, but that one was really big
and really clean.
Bro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, like proper. It was really sick.
Yeah.
And she like totally bolts it. There was no issue on the landing.
It was so dope too, because she dropped first and she just set the bar. And like, honestly, it's so like back to that like mental game. It's like once you can see like other people are doing it, and especially like the girls are all really close. Like a lot of my close friends are in the challengers, and if I didn't know them, they are my close friend now after this week. And we were all just like up there like together, just like feeding off of it. And it was so dope to just like see the girls throw down, and it's like, okay, this is the level now. So
yeah. like we've grown up seeing the guys do big bat flips and like it was always a possibility, but when you see another girl that you're competing with and like ski with often throw something like that, then it just like progresses the sport so much because you're like, oh, I can do that too.
Okay, so do you find it's often a case where like that, yeah, just kind of expands on the energy and motivates people rather than like, oh shit, like she just threw that giant backflip.
Totally.
Like you're less getting nervous and more just, yeah. Oh, like you said, like I've skied with her. Like,
yeah.
I know that she's not like a completely different level. Like we've
totally.
Been competing
like, we yeah, all ski together cool. and compete together and have for a long time. So I think like anytime I see a sick girl's run, it's not like, oh, I could never do that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's the bar. And like, I'll step it up.
Uh-huh. Sweet.
I think also like, with, just in tricks and all of that kind of expanding, like Marcus Gogan's recent run is pretty insane. But I think that like the tricks being so crazy now is kind of cool. Like you can be a very good slope style skier and have both white triple corks and you can still suck at skiing. Whereas you can't be really good in freeride and suck in skiing, but you cannot really have tricks. But the cool thing about it that I'm seeing is like on the tour, we're seeing cork sevens and double backflips now in the men's field. And we can do those tricks. Like we've done them before. They're not doing both way triple corks yet, which like maybe it'll get there. And if it does, we're in a competition. Like this is what we do. So it's, I can't really like, oh, I hate the progression. It's not the way it used to be. It's like, well, we sign up for this. So this is what the bar is going to be now. We're going to keep achieving that. So I don't think it's unattainable. Like whenever I see a crazy run like that, I'm like, oh, like I could do that, or I can probably couldn't do it, but I can make sense of it in my mind. Yeah. Where, and then I can show my mom that same run and she can figure out what's going on. But I can show my parents like the winning Olympic slope style and be like, tell me what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, what's going on?
I don't even know.
They took off and they landed and they did a lot of stuff in between. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, excited for that.
I feel like the mixture of skiing and tricks like is also just getting like better integrated to just like a higher level where like Ben Richards' winning run was all threes. But like from a skier's perspective, like anyone that watched that run, they weren't just like any threes, like they were the most like they were high risk, super fast, fall line. Over, you know, and it's just, they're just 360s. People have been doing 360s for a long time, but like just like brought the level to like an insane where like every skier is like that was absolutely berserk. Like, and then like Tyler's saying, like we can, you know, we can do sevens, we can do flat spins, we can do all this stuff, but it's like integrating that into a free ride run takes a lot of work, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of thinking and brain power, and just like and knowing how to work features to your advantage, and especially on the tour where it's visual the first time you've ever ridden it, just committing and like having confidence, like, but that's what leaves like so much like not only do I still have so much to learn in the world of just fall line charging, like I could never be good enough at that, like, you know what I mean, you'll always be able to learn something new. There's also a whole other book that is like being opened that's like a flat spin sick trick. Integrating that into a free ride run can take a lot of effort, like especially off kilter takeoffs, fresh takeoffs,
and you know, fast, like, and still charging and staying fall line while you're doing something like that.
Exactly. So it leaves like a ton to be, I don't know, desired and worked on. It's a little, sometimes it's like a little bit of like a slap in the face when you like watch one of those runs, like double backflip, cork sev, right three, flat spin. You're like, oh my god. All right, relax. but like, you know. There's
cool
always
going to
be, yeah, it's like pretty sick to see. And I feel like it inspires you to be like, when you see someone do something like that, you're like, dude, like that is what is up. Like one of these days, you know, I'm going to link it up. I'm going to figure it out, you know, and I don't know. It always leaves something to be desired, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like, obviously it's very easy to just like call, like I did at the start, like, oh, three people threw doubles yesterday. Like that's a easy thing to just like put in a YouTube clip title, like you often see.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's very different to like do like what Ben Richards run, like, yeah, he was only doing threes, but they were some of like the smoothest fastest, like, tricks that work so well with his line. And like, there's such a big difference, at least for me, and I'm guessing for you guys, like, just hucking something and happening to land it versus, yeah. I think, yeah, it seems like we'll see more and more of like, oh, this is a sick line, and he threw a dub backy off the perfect feature for that trick. And I'm very much looking forward to that rather than just like chaos and hucking and praying.
Cool. Time and place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That too. I mean, it's still entertaining.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I hate huck therapy.
Yeah. Was it last year that was the year of the hate huck? Was that you, or maybe that was, might have been Ross Tester? I can't remember.
Oh, it was Ross. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's
always Ross.
No. Yeah.
Ross's casual hucks are hate hucks.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think I'll let you guys get going, but I think we'll close it out with. Obviously, we're talking about the qualifier series, especially. There's so many good skiers and riders out there, and the idea is that, yeah, everyone has the potential chance to make it all the way to the top. But anyone, for each of you, is there any one particular person that you want to give a shout out, you think people should check out, that maybe, even if they're maybe well known in the qualifier series, maybe less known outside of that, anyone that stands out?
I got one. Our boy Pierce Whalen. He's in Montana now. He got he qualified and then got bumped. So kind of a bummer there. Each year with the qualifying thing, the numbers just get smaller and smaller, so it's harder and harder. And he did the thing. He made it, and then got the email that he can't come. So. Miss that guy, but yeah, another asset to kind of the world traveling couch tour that we have, and pretty solid group and everyone there.
Yeah,
but
good to have contact.
He's also just such a fun. Like fast fall line skier. Like you see him on the top of the venue, and then he sprays some snow, and he's at the bottom. Like it's like that, and it's fun to watch him ski.
J-Pack.
Oh yeah,
J-Pack. Jeremy Paquette, like from coming out of Whistler. A kid's, I think, 19, 20?
20, I think. I don't know. He's young.
Yeah.
Such a creative skier and, like, super an amazing skier, but, like, just the most stoked dude to go skiing. Lives in his van, drives it everywhere, like, skied. I think
lives
he
in a Subaru.
Yeah. He told me last night.
One headlight.
He told me last night he skied 170 days at WIST last year.
Damn.
It's insane. That's like all the days.
In the bathroom line yesterday. And then there were a bunch of kids who fell and they're all bummed. And he's like, don't worry, we're here. Like, feel the energy. Like, be happy. Like, you did it. It's awesome. And I'm just, yes. Dude, like, I need that.
He's 20.
Yeah.
He's like already assuming like a mentor role.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's a really awesome kid.
When I grew up, I want to be like J-Pack.
Yeah. I want to shout out Piper Koontz. She is just so fun to watch, and she goes for it. She goes big. She does the tricks. She hasn't competed that much. She did like Kings and Queens, Corbett's, killed it in that, but hasn't gotten into that many IFSA comps. She got a wild card into this Challengers, but then she also did the 2-star in Snowbird, got second, got a wild card into the 4-star, won the 4-star, so she also qualified on top of her wild card. And she's just so down to earth, so cool, supportive of the girls. So yeah, she's fun to watch. Keep an eye out for her.
I think I gotta say Delilah Quinn. She's like one of my close friends, but also just like following her around skiing is so cool. Like she just like skis so effortlessly, and she like goes into like big airs just like so floaty and like
very like calm, cool,
and like that's her personality too. She's just like, she just like has her head on straight and she just gets it, and she's a really inspirational skier.
Sweet. Well, yeah, everyone should go check all those people out.
And thank you to Luke Coppa and all of your roommates for letting
out,
us
Luke.
Stay at your house all week.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like everyone I know who's been in the Valley for a while, or especially who is remotely connected with the free ride scene, is like, oh yeah, I've got these three at my house. I've got these three at my house.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy to oblige in exchange for the entertainment provided.
God, we can provide that.
Yeah.
Last night at the bar, I was talking to some CB kids before we left, and they're like, they're like, we're staying up here. Like, we're not taking the bus down. Like, we're going to just ride it out. And I was like, hell yeah. And they're like, where are you guys staying? I'm like,
at Luke Coppa's house. And he's like, that's where we're going to stay tonight then. Five kids were like, we're staying at Luke Coppa. And I was like,
that's amazing. Well, honestly, I probably wouldn't have noticed. Like, we have a giant living room with a bunch of couches, and it's just full of skiers and ski gear, so you probably could have hit at least five more people.
Oh, and shout out for having enough Nerf guns for everyone and a bucket of ammo.
Did you guys end up utilizing that?
Oh, yeah.
The entire time, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good. Glad they got
it. It was like a 4-day slumber party.
Yeah, exactly.
That was awesome.
Yeah, we might have to invest in some bunk beds. I feel like we're not making the most of the floor space in there.
I don't know. It's pretty comfy in there.
Yeah.
We have plans for summer camp next year. We'll send them to you.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we'll send you what we request for next year. For our accommodation.
Here's my rider. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much for taking time in this busy weekend to fill everyone in on the free ride scene. It's super interesting, super fun to watch. Everyone should go watch the live stream replay of the Crested Butte comp.
And then I don't know when this comes out, but Silverton and Kirkwood will both be live streamed on freeskier.com.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I look forward to watching those as well. Good luck to you all, and thanks for hanging out.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks for listening.
With that, I will close out this episode of the Blister Podcast. Thank you very much to Britta, Colton, Mia, and Tyler for the really fun conversation. Thank you to Taylor Ahern for producing this episode and getting some really sweet photos from the event, and thank you all for listening. As always, please take good care of both yourselves and everyone else, and we will talk to you again next week.